Now that brings us now to the fourth chapter of the book of Genesis. Actually, we have in Genesis 3 the root of sin. In Genesis 4, the fruit of sin. You see, the first two chapters was creation. The next two chapters, 3 and 4, we've labeled sin. We have now the root of sin in chapter 3. Chapter 4, the fruit of sin. Then the question arises, how bad is sin? Well, may I say to you that we find that man just wasn't suffering from blood poisoning. Some little something hadn't happened to him. May I say to you that chapter 4 reveals how much had really happened to the man, and that he had, by his disbelief and his disobedience, now he's turned away from God and he's sinned in such a way that he's brought upon himself and his race the judgment, because you and I are given the same kind of nature. We have the same nature that our father has. And I tell you, Papa Adam has given us a pretty bad nature, and that's for all of us. That is something we need to see here. And it's revealed in the story of the two sons of Adam and Eve. Now, they had more children than this, but we're only given these two here at this time. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. Now, this is Genesis 4:1, and this reveals the fact that Adam and Eve certainly did not anticipate that the struggle was going to be long. When Cain was born, why, she said, I've gotten the man from the Lord. God said, that the seed of the woman, and here he is. But he wasn't. He was a murderer. He was no Savior at all. And it'll be a long time before the Savior comes. And friends, after a minimum of 6,000 years, and if you really want to know the truth, I think it's been longer than that. The struggle's been going on between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. Now, will you notice, and she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was the keeper of the sheep, but Cain was the tiller of the ground. Here are the two boys now that we're looking at. Now, will you notice, it says in process of time. Actually, it means at the end of days, which would mean on the Sabbath day, I think, on the day that God had rested. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought, and the idea of brought here means to an appointed place. So they are bringing an offering to God to an appointed place to worship. And all this would indicate, of course, they're doing it by revelation. In fact, I know they are. You say, how do you know? Well, if when we turn to the 11th chapter of Hebrews, we read, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. By faith. How could he offer it by faith? Well, faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. So God had to give his word about this, or this boy could never have come by faith. And that's the way he came. Now, the other boy didn't come that way. But we find here that Cain brought the fruit of the ground. And there's nothing wrong with the fruit. Don't think that he brought the leftovers. He's not giving old clothes to the mission now. I think that the fruit he brought would have won the blue ribbon in any county fair or state fair in the country. He brought delicious fruit, and he brought that as an offering to the Lord. And Abel, he also brought the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Now, the thing that Cain did, somebody says, I don't see anything wrong in it at all. Well, Jude, in his epistle, the 11th verse says, speaking of apostates in the last days, they've gone in the way of Cain. Well, what is the way of Cain? Cain, when he brought an offering to God, he didn't come by faith. He came on his own. And the offering that he brought denied that human nature is evil. God said, you bring that little sacrifice, which will point to the Redeemer who's coming in the world. And you come on that basis. Don't come by bringing the works of your own hand. And it also denies that man was separated from God. He acted like everything was all right. And that's what liberalism does today. Talks about the universal fatherhood of God and the universal brotherhood of man. Friends, things are not all right with us today. We're not born children of God. We are born again children of God. Man is separated from God. Cain refused to recognize that, and multitudes today refuse to do that. Then the third thing, he denied that man cannot offer works to God. He felt he could. God says, it's not by works of righteousness which we've done, it's according to his mercy he saved us. And we find that actually the difference between these two boys wasn't a character difference at all. It's the offering that they brought. These two boys had the same background. They had the same heredity. They had the same environment. There wasn't that difference between them. Don't tell me that Cain got his bad disposition from an alcoholic uncle. He didn't have an uncle. And don't say that Abel got his from a very fine aunt on his mother's side. The other was on the father's side, of course. But that wasn't true. You see, they just didn't have aunts and uncles then. And they had the same heredity and same environment. The difference is in the offering. And that offering makes the difference in man today. And no Christian takes the position that he is better than anyone else. The thing that makes him a Christian is he recognizes that he's a sinner like everyone else. And that he needs an offering. He needs a sacrifice. He needs someone to take his place and die. And Paul says in Romans 3:26, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. And therefore, Paul again could write, they being ignorant of God's righteousness, they go about to establish a righteousness of their own. And that's the picture of multitudes of people today. They are attempting through religion, a joining a church, a doing something, that they make themselves acceptable to God. May I say, God's righteousness can only come to you because you have to have a perfect one. It can only come to you through Christ providing it to you. He was delivered for our offenses. He was raised for our justification, that is, for our righteousness. He was the one who took our place. He was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And that's the righteousness. Paul says that I might be found in him, not having mine own righteousness. That's Cain. But the righteousness which is by faith, Jesus Christ. That's Abel, if you please. Why did Cain get angry? We'll look at that next time. We have now come to the fourth chapter of the book of Genesis, and if you have your Bible, and we'll turn there to the sixth verse, and we have seen that Cain and Abel have come together to worship God. And these two boys that were identical, I think, some actually think they were twins. I think that was the position of the late Dr. Harry Rimmer, but I think they were even closer than twins because of the fact they had no blood stream that reached way back on both sides that might cause a difference. They were the sons of Adam and Eve, but there's a great divergence between the two, and it's not necessarily a character divergence. It happened to be on the basis of one accepted because of his sacrifice, which he brought by faith. The other, Cain, brought his without any recognition at all. Now we find that Cain is angry. Verse 6, and the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? Why is he angry? Well, notice what he says. Let me read on what God says, and then we'll go on. If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Now, the important thing to notice is that Cain was angry. Why was he angry? Well, he's angry enough that he's going to slay his brother, and back of murder, always there's anger. Our Lord said, well, if you're angry with your brother, you're guilty of murder. And back of anger is jealousy. Back of jealousy is pride. And spiritual pride means there's no sense of sin whatsoever in that. You will recall that James put it in language like this, in James 1:15. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. So this man here is angry, and it led to murder. But back of that was his jealousy and also his pride. And God deals with him like that. He says, if you do well, shall you not be accepted? Actually, the meaning is better to translate like this, shalt thou not have excellency? That seems to me to be a much better translation. And what it means is this, that the eldest son always occupied a place of preeminence, and this boy thought now he'd lose that. God says there's no reason for you to lose it if you do well, and what would be to do well would be to bring that which God had accepted from Abel, a sacrifice, and the acknowledgement that he was a sinner, but not this boy. He's just angry, you see. And he says, sin lieth at the door. Now, there are those that have interpreted that as means sin offering lies at the door. That is, there's the little lamb. Now, that, may I say to you, it makes sense. All right, because that was true. But I don't think it means sin offering here. Up to this time and beyond this time, in fact, up till Moses, as far as I can tell from the Word of God, there was no sin offering. You find a sin offering, instructions given for it in the book of Leviticus. In the first part, where you have these five offerings, and one of them is a sin offering. And the sin offering did not come into existence until the law was given. You remember that that is the thing that Paul had said in Romans 3:20, by the law is the knowledge of sin. So that the offerings that were brought up to that were burnt offerings. You find Job in his day, which obviously was before Moses, he brought a burnt offering. It was not in any way a sin offering. And I think if you go through the scripture, you'll find that that is true. And it is said of Cain, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Now, if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. Well, to do well would be to bring the kind of offering that Abel had, and that would be a burnt offering. That would be the one that was offered, and you find Abraham offering that type. And as we say, there could be no sin until the law was given. That is, sin would not become a trespass against law until then. And therefore, you'll notice God actually protected this man. God talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and he slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel, thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And it's practically an impudent answer, as you can see. He had, frankly, no regard at all. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel, thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? You see, he's trying to cover it. And the scripture says there's nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and neither hid that will not be known. That's something to think over if you have any secret sins. You better deal with them down here. because they're all going to come out in his presence someday anyway. And he already knows about them. He'd just well tell him about them. Couldn't hide it from him anyway. And therefore, this fella tries to say that he's not guilty. Am I my brother's keeper? What an impudent answer. And he said, "What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground." And the writer to the Hebrews uses it in Hebrews 12:24, "And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel." Abel's blood spoke of murder committed. The blood of Christ speaks of redemption. It speaks of salvation. Now I read on in verse 11 of chapter 4 of Genesis, "And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. And when thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth." The earth today, by man's use, loses its fertility. It has to be renewed as man goes along in the use of the land. Verse 13, "And Cain said unto the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear." Well, why didn't he then, if it's greater than he can bear, why didn't he just turn to God and confess his sin and cast himself upon God? It was too great for him to bear. But God was providing a Savior for him if he'd only turn to it. Verse 14, "Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid. And I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth, and it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me." And he says now that he's to be hidden from the face of God. And that's exactly, of course, what happened. That was the suggestion here in verse John 3:12. "Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, slew his brother. Wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous." That is the picture that's presented to us. And he's now hidden from the face of God. But now notice God protects him. And this is strange. God is actually harboring a murderer, a criminal. "And the Lord said unto him, Therefore whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him." I don't know what the mark is. There's been a lot of speculation, and I don't know why I should add my speculation to all of this. But God protects him. There's no law given. He's a sinner, but he's not a transgressor, because there's been no law given about murder, you see. But his great sin is he didn't bring the offering that was acceptable to God. His deeds were evil. In what way? What he brought to God. And he manifested that evil nature in slaying his brother. Now, we find him moving out from God, and he establishes a civilization that is apart from God altogether. And the children of Cain establish a godless civilization. Let me just lift out two or three things out of that, and we'll pass on. We find in verse 16, "Cain went out from the presence of the Lord, and he dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden." I know a lot of folk in church that dwell in the land of Nod during church, but frankly, I don't know where the land of Nod really is. I've often wondered just where it is. Now, again, there's speculation about this. But he went out. He moved out of that area. "And Cain knew his wife, she conceived, bare Enoch. He builded a city, and called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch." Men been doing that ever since. They like to call cities by their own names, streets by their own names, and even in Christian work, you have schools named for individuals. Men love to do that. Now, whether they're Christian or after the order of Cain, But here's where it all began, and here's where urban life began, city life. Built it a city, and he called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch. And the cities have become one of the biggest problems that man has today. The cities, they say, are dying, and yet the people are flooding to the cities from all over this land, in fact, from all over the world. Now we find here there are other things in this section I'll just lift out because I think they're important to lift out. And Lamech took unto him two wives. Here's the beginning of polygamy. Two wives. And the name of the one was Ada, and the name of the other was Zillah. And we could have a lot of fun here with these two, but I don't know whether I should spend time with that or not because of the fact that we would like to move right on. But it might be well to notice this man now does that. That also is contrary to what God intends, what God had for man. And you'll never find anywhere in the Scripture that God approves of polygamy. The thing is that you read the accounts accurately, you find out he condemns it. He gives the record of it because he's giving us a historical record here. And we find that is the basis on which it's given to us here. Now, actually, Ada means pleasure or adornment. And she was the first one to make it to the beauty parlor, I guess. And Zillah, to hide. She was a coquette. My, what two girls he had for wives. No wonder he had problems. And you wonder why. Now, later on, we'll see here something happened. Then we find something else began. Here's the beginning of civilization, the Canaanitic civilization. Verse 20 of Genesis 4. Ada bare Jabal. He was the father of such as dwell in tents. Well, Paul was the tent maker, you see, later on. And here's the first contractor. And of such as have cattle. Here's the first ranchers, you see. His brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all such as handle a harp and organ. Here's the beginning of the musician. And believe me, we can well understand when we hear some of the modern music today. Well, I'm sure that there are not many that argue that it didn't begin with Cain's civilization. Now we have here in Zillah, she also bare Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every artificer in brass and iron. And here are the ones that are craftsmen. And the sister of Tubal-Cain was Naamah. And Lamech said unto his wives Ada and Zillah, hear my voice, ye wives of Lamech. Hearken unto my speech, for I have slain a man to my wounding, and a young man to my hurt. If Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech 70 and sevenfold. This fellow here says, well, if Cain got by with it, I can get by with it. After all, Cain did not slay in self-defense, but I have. And I don't know whether he did or not, but he says that that's what he did, that he slew in self-defense. And so we have these two wives. I do not know whether they entered into this or not, whether he was defending one of them or not, but be that as it may, we're not told. We find here that he feels he'll be avenged 70 and sevenfold. But our Lord said that to Simon Peter, that's how much you ought to forgive your enemy. Now in verses 25 and 26, Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son, called his name Seth. For God, said she, hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And to Seth, to him also, there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. Now, apparently, this was the beginning of men calling on the name of the Lord.